Well, as we know, this is the last week of ordinary time before we start a new liturgical year with Advent. And the church has chosen to, in a way, cap off the liturgical year, which is a symbol of the whole history of humanity, with this great feast of Christ, King of the universe. It's all, as if saying that Christ's kingship is what history is leading to. And now that he's come into the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and man, suffered in obedience to the Father, died and rose again, and is given the grace to carry on his life to the church, that the progress of the church and the progress of human history is bringing the world into obedience to Jesus Christ, his kingship. You know, this feast was instituted back in the early 20th century in a way in response to a lot of the nationalistic hatred that was going on in the world, as a way to try to remind the world that essentially we should not look at each other as enemies, but as brothers and sisters, and whatever loyalty and obedience we owe to human powers and human authorities is secondary to the obedience we owe to the kingship of Christ. And maybe to Western people like us, we're not too comfortable with the idea of kingship, right? We're used to democracy and elected leadership, etc. But that's not what Christ demands of us. But really, it's an obedience that sets us free. It's right there in the opening prayer of the Mass that we said this evening, that creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. So the kingship of Christ sets us free from slavery. That's because the higher obedience that we owe to Jesus Christ sets us free from all the ways that those worldly powers might try to tyrannize us. And sometimes, yes, it involves suffering. Sometimes it involves a heroic witness. Sometimes, like for the martyrs, it involves the spilling of our blood in witness to Christ. But that's what makes them such great witnesses, is that their joy and their love of Christ was so great that they could not be tyrannized or enslaved by the powers of the world. We see how Daniel has a vision of the Son of Man receiving dominion, glory, and kingship. Even though he was living in the time of exile, the Lord gave him a vision of what his intention is and was for human history. And so Jesus, when he confronts Pilate before his crucifixion, and just think of this man who has been arrested and mistreated already, becomes a source of fear for somebody like Pilate, who is afraid that he's claiming to be a king, who is afraid that he's threatening his power. And Jesus says, yes, I am a king. My kingdom is not of this world. And so we feel in this world that tension, that the kingship of Christ is on its way, but we're not there yet. And we still endure so much suffering and hatred and contention in the world because we're following along in the footsteps of Christ to his cross and to his resurrection. And so what does this kingship of Christ mean to us in our day-to-day life? It means that because Christ's life dwells in us through grace, through the sacraments, through prayer, because Jesus' life is in us, that means that we also participate in a share of his kingship. That means that every part of our life should more and more reflect that obedience to Christ. And so we might examine ourselves and say, am I living with Christ as my king instead of all the other worldly powers that might demand obedience? Is Jesus Christ the king in my family? Do I give example by letting my children see me pray and see me go to church and see me receive the sacraments like confession? Is Jesus Christ the king of my family? Is Jesus Christ the king also in my work life? Do I do an honest work for an honest wage? Do I take opportunities to witness to others that I run across? Maybe something as simple as some sign of your Christian faith that others can see in the world. Is Jesus Christ king of my personal life, my mind, my body? Do I express his kingship in my life of prayer? All these are ways that we begin to live at this moment the kingship of Christ that is being worked in the history of the world. And especially in times like today, when we're very aware of the crisis in the church and the failures in leadership of some of those in the church, what a great reminder that Jesus Christ is king. That yes, we accept everything that's been revealed about it's the intention of the church that we have that infallible authority and that we have the leadership of the church like the bishops. But at the same time, Jesus Christ is our only king. And so if we are called to raise our voices, even to the displeasure of some of the leaders in the world or in the church, then that's another way of living out Jesus Christ's kingship. And so as we head toward our Eucharist, may through faith and devotion, may the Eucharist strengthen that obedience to Jesus Christ the King and strengthen us against the opposition of the world. Amen.